Well, 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 lovers, I am back and I have missed you. I hope that you are well. I have had many messages from you beautiful regular potty listeners saying that you miss me too, and I have very much missed you, and I'm sort of glad that I'm feeling well enough today to record a little potty before the new moon. Come on. And as Jupiter has moved into Taurus, and we've got this big fixed cross in the sky, holy wildness. I have been in the trenches with COVID, very sick. just come off my cleanse, as you have all been following my journey, my parasite cleanse. And the day I came off it, I went away for the weekend and came back with COVID. So many lessons were learned. So much healing happened within the parasite cleanse. I do start my round two next week for another month. That was supposed to start this week, but because I'm recovering from COVID, it's probably not best that I do that, because my body has just needed another week of sleep. I've been sleeping like 12 hours, and after the marathon of fevers and COVID of last week, it just makes sense that that my body needed a whole another week. And the past sort of 24 hours, I feel like I've turned a bit more of a corner. Still not there, but it's, so I apologize if I have a little cough or whatever, but I can feel the light being regained within me once more. I mean, there was lots of revelations and aha moments at around day four of COVID. Ultimately, I pretty much got it nearly at the exact same time last year. For the first time, so this is my second round of it. Although I do think I may have had it in January of this year, but that could have just been full-blown exhaustion with everything that was going on in our world. But really interesting, I got it last year in 2022, just as the solar eclipse in Taurus happened. So for the 2 week portal, I was in with, I was recovering from COVID. But I only really had the fevers and the intensity for 12 hours. So I sort of like came out of it going, oh, this is nothing. But then it was like a 2 week journey of just feeling tired and brain fog and just feeling weak and exhausted. So it was really different to this time, whereas I've pretty much had nearly a full week of, well, I had 5 days of complete bed rest. Whereas I wasn't moving, fevers, chills, temperatures. It was a time, I thought I was going to die, but now I have been reborn, darling, as I have been reborn. But I've missed you all. I mean, I didn't get to, check in with you last week because I was so sick. And even on Wednesday, I thought that I was okay, and I had a couple of hours where I was okay, and then I sort of just I hit a bit of a wall but I'm good now. I'm good for this moment. And I was just like, look, I'm going to jump on. I've got some notes in front of me. I want to be with you all. I want my voice back in your ears. There's some juicy, dreamy, luxurious, magnanimous, delicious, yummy energies with this Taurus new moon. So I really wanted to speak into that and prep you all because it's pretty potent. Plus, bring your awareness to the fixed square that's happening in the sky at the moment as well, really triggering, lots of different pathways and new dimensions, old paradigms. I mean, a lot is coming up. Of course, we've had Jupiter freshly moved into Taurus as well this week. I mean, this week was a pretty big week. Now, ultimately, if you follow me on socials, I have been able to put a couple of posts out. I did put a post out for the new moon. I also put a post out regarding this fixed grand cross that's going on as well. So they're my most two recent posts, both on Instagram and Facebook. So you can have a bit of a read there if you're wanting a little bit more, if you like to gaze your eyes upon, a feast of words. But I know a lot of you love to hear my voice, and you all say beautiful, luxurious things about my voice, and thank you. I, in my own mind, think I sound like Fran Fine, the nanny, whereas you all think I sound not like the nanny, and that's very cool. So I'm just bloody honored to be back. Really grateful to have gone through what I've gone through, and I've been in such great health and I'm a relatively, pretty healthy person. And the cleanse was quite eye-opening for me, I would say. So it was actually more than the cleanse, and that's what I want to, that's what's really changed for me, is it was more than a cleanse. It was a soul detox. It was an energetic detox. It changed perspectives for me on me moving forward and how I want to live and show up, and just different activities that I won't be partaking in anymore. Lots and lots of stuff. Plus, within the midst of being sick, sometimes, these aha moments and revelations really land. And for me, a really big one landed around, a big activation that's happening in my chart, which is Uranus, triggering off my yod, which is also called a finger of God. It's a pretty, not everyone has a yod, but ultimately what happens is when an outer planet triggers the apex of the yod, this is quite a culmination point in your life. So it's quite a big thing that happens. And I only really put two and two together, in sort of that, space of being super sick. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm having Uranus trigger my yod apex planet, which happens to be for me Venus, who is also my chart ruler, who also rules my sun. So it's a bit of a big deal. To have a yod in general is a big deal, but then to have that apex planet be your chart ruler at home, also exactly conjunct Algol, that's sort of a big deal too. So there's some big revelations going on. And the trigger point is Uranus for me. And this activation will actually happen whilst I have my Uranus opposition. So this year and next year, my yod is being activated by Uranus. And when an outer planet activates the apex of the yod, this is quite transformational. So I sort of had a big breakdown, of tears and just like what's moving through me. I've been, deeply diving into the study of the Kutush and ancient Egypt, and there's just been so much coming through for me that has been quite profound, to be honest, and such a deep change and such a deep shift, in consciousness, in energy, in my field, in my DNA, in my cells. And it's massive. And I'm not one to go, oh, having COVID means I'm getting an activation. No, mate, I was sick. It is what it is. But obviously, no matter what illness you have, often things can come up within that, And for some people, they get sick because they push themselves, because they're busy all the time and they never let their bodies rest. That's not my journey or my story. I'm not someone who is busy all the time. That's not a choice for me. That's not an option. And I'm not someone who just fills my days constantly with things so that I'm constantly doing and not being. So for me, when I fall ill, it's never got anything to do with you've been working too hard, or you need a break, or you need to stop and listen to your body. It's like, yeah, energetically, there is a big message for me because, I drop right back into my body somatically in, and what was really a lot of pain last week. Obviously, my birthday was also last week, and I literally had COVID on my birthday last year. So this is a really interesting, succinct mirror of what happened last year, because like I said, I got it last year, solar eclipse in Taurus, and then this year I got it just after the lunar eclipse in Scorpio. So I pretty much probably got it the night of the lunar eclipse in Scorpio, just like I got it last year, on the solar eclipse of Taurus. So you can see the completion of whatever is going on for me is quite interesting, and that there was common denominators in these situations, and very fascinating to, after coming off the high of this incredible cleanse that I was on, this healing journey for 4 weeks, and then to be floored, over my birthday. I had, a beautiful day booked in to go and be, massaged and luxed up for 2.5 hours, which I obviously couldn't go to, because I was so sick. And Yeah, it's just been fucking wild, my friends. Wild. And I know that a lot of people have been going through a lot of things. I know that a lot of people are sick too. So, and also I actually have Ross River. Well, I have had Ross River. So I can have these flare ups. So what's sort of happened, and maybe you've had COVID, and it really gets into your bones, like my hamstrings and my legs, my back, my whole back, like my lower back, like everything. I was just aching, like this was bone, this was to the bone, at least for 4 days. So so 4 days of that, like you honestly think you're gonna die. You're just like, is this right or is this not right? But also because of the flare up of the Ross River, occasionally, maybe once a year or something, I have this like really full-blown flare up, which feels like the flu coming on, but it's just the Ross River flaring up. And ultimately, it can go away overnight. So it's a very fascinating immune sort of thing that happens. I mean, I never even knew I had Ross River until it came back positive in a blood test many, many years ago. And so it's a fascinating little journey. But after being on the cleanse and really lowering all of my inflammation, everything like that, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna, go deep into the crevices, because there was one day on the cleanse that I felt the same thing. I had all of these aches, bone aches, back aches, leg aches, knee aches, ankle aches. It floored me and it kept me up all night. I was in so much pain. I was putting a hot pack over my ankles and on the bottom of my feet and the top of my feet. And so this was like deep in the cleanse, and I was like, holy shit, I'm getting really sick. But I didn't. I woke up the next morning, and apart from being a little bit exhausted because I felt like my body had just run a marathon that night, I was fine. And so again, I felt like what was happening was the parasites were dying in my system. But even just that Ross River, that's deep in the crevices of your immune system, like it was getting to the crux of that. So I'm really looking forward to getting back on the cleanse next week, getting back on the protocol, and diving back into that depth. Anyway, I've spent 12 minutes talking about that part of my journey, but I just wanted to share it. It's been very real. I've had like a lot of messages, and love and support, which of course I absolutely appreciate. People wondering where I am and if I'm, because some people aren't on socials, and that's cool. I do like to be consistent with my podcasts and get them out every week. However, if I don't, I'm sick. Like, that something must be wrong if I'm not here talking into your beautiful ears, and into your heart, because it's my favorite thing to do. And yeah, this podcast for me is a big part of my working week, and I love it. It's just like my joy. It is my absolute joy. So I am feeling very grateful to be here today, on the day of Venus. And yeah, my goodness, like the energy is just so viscerally incredible. Fuck, half the sky's in Taurus to start with. I mean, come on, how can you not just want all the pleasure and want all the divinity and all the senses activated? And it's so delicious. We've got the sun and moon. I mean, we will have this new moon in Taurus activate at the early hours of Saturday morning here, in Brisbane, like 1:50 or something like that a.m. So it's actually, deep in the still of night, in the dark of night, just after midnight, where this new moon peaks, at 28 degrees. So quite a late degree new moon, in Taurus. And and we've got Jupiter fresh in Taurus. We've got Vesta, who is around devotion and discipline and routines and health, the purifying. I'm talking about this purifying with the flames of truth. Purify your passions with the same that with the flames of truth. Tend to your passions with the flames of truth. To have Vesta also amongst this Taurus stellium is giving us this devotional practice, which is so Taurus in general. I know that Vesta is very much aligned to Virgo and Scorpio, but I feel her very strongly in Taurus as quite a homecoming. So if I was to say, I would feel that there's quite an exaltation here in Taurus, that Vesta exalts in Taurus. I know that she would be at home in Virgo, and even, there's that real connection to Scorpio as well. If you go and sort of read the Asteroid Goddess book by Demetra George, who's just a founder in the goddesses and just amazing. But having, you know, the pile up in Taurus, Sun, Moon at the moment, of course, the Moon will move into Gemini on the 20th, so not long after we have this new Moon in Taurus. So Sun, Moon in Taurus, Mercury in Taurus, Jupiter in Taurus, Vesta in Taurus. I mean, and what else? No, I swear there's something else. I'm missing something. Jupiter, Chiron, no, Jupiter, Mercury, the Sun and the Moon, Vesta. Maybe I'm not missing anything. Yeah, please. Yeah, excuse wherever I go today, because this is the first real bit of work I've done in 2 weeks, apart from doing my horoscopes, which I write and weekly, and of course my social posts. But yeah, so you know, Vesta around this devotional hearth fire, you know, tending to the sacred flame. And in Taurus, you know, the invitation is, you know, what is that sacred flame within you that you're tending to? You know, Taurus, the Taurus new moon is asking us to strip everything back, slow down, simplify. Yeah. This is Taurus's huge message. It's such a divine new moon. I mean, the moon itself, conjunct the sun at 28 degrees Taurus, is what's called the apex or the goal point of a talent triangle. Now, a talent triangle is sort of like a minor grand trine. So with a grand water trine, say we would have three planets in all of the water signs connected, which we've been through. You know, we've had Saturn and the South Node and Venus. You know, we had all of them, you know, a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, or whenever that was, in a beautiful grand water trine. You know, Venus was fresh in Cancer. We've got the South Node in Scorpio and Saturn in Pisces. So that is the grand trine. But the talent triangle can actually is a part of can often be it, well, it is. It's the top part of a kite aspect. But you don't need to have the grand trine to have a talent triangle. And you know, there's so much fertility and richness with this new moon, is that the apex, which is the goal point, like which is the direction, the release point of the talent triangle, is the new moon. You know, it is the sun and the moon conjunct, making this, you know, this dark moon blessing, where we're being asked to really seed this next cycle. But not only just like the 6 month cycle when we have the final Taurus Scorpio, this Taurus eclipse in Scorpio season, because that's going to really tie something up. But you know what? This time next year, Jupiter hits 28 degrees of Taurus on the 20th. It will be there. Really, so this is like a year-long seeding, and for me it really plays into Jupiter and Taurus, obviously, because Jupiter is in Taurus for one solid year. It does not retrograde back into Aries. We are getting the consistency and stability that, oh, we oh so love when it comes to Taurus. If Taurus is nothing but consistent, it's consistent. And you know, often, as you have seen over the past, we've had Jupiter will move into a sign and then we'll move back retrograding into the sign before. Whereas we don't have this time. This Jupiter signature is super strong. And the fact that Jupiter will, of course, hit that 28 degrees, that we're going to have this new moon in Taurus, which is the first moon out of the eclipse lunation, so is really heralding new beginnings. It is, to me, probably the most strongest manifesting moon. Now, I'm not someone who needs to manifest every new moon or needs to do a circle or anything like that. That to me can be beautiful. I mean, if you've got like your moon in the third house or a night chart, you might really love those sorts of things. I mean, I love rituals. I did a lot of that stuff in my 20s, but there are particular moons that I'm like, poof, this moon is one where, you know, I am going to do something. And that for me, the significance of that is because, yes, every new moon and full moon is significant, but they're not always significant in the way that, you know, everyone wants you to think that they are. And you know, it's often I say, what is it? New moon, same shit. You know, people just doing the same stuff every new moon and full moon. This new moon, darlings, is one of the highest manifesting moons of 2023. And I don't mean, oh, manifest, blah, 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 like in that real wanky law of attraction way. I mean, it's fertile, it's solid, and it's actually setting up this year. And not as in just 2023, this year-long energy with Jupiter in Taurus. that's what's so profound about this one, is that we've just had Jupiter enter Taurus, which is, you know, I'm calling this the golden era. You know, we have Jupiter in Taurus now, slowing us down, helping us metabolize life, to ingest life, to embody our experiences and pleasures, to digest life. Yeah. And this new moon, you know, I've sort of labeled as everything is magnified. You know, Jupiter expands everything. And yes, Jupiter isn't conjunct this new moon, but it is in the plethora of planets that are in Taurus. So we've got Jupiter, who is expanding everything, magnifying everything, growing everything. And, you know, like I said in my new moon post yesterday, you know, it's a lick of luck, or it's expanding problems that are already there. And, you know, because Jupiter in Taurus is also squaring Pluto at the moment, is squaring the node, no, will conjunct the node, sorry. Mars is going to move into Leo on the 21st. So we've got another 0-0 fixed. So we're going to have Mars in Leo at 0-0 fixed, fire, Pluto 0-0 fixed air in Aquarius, Jupiter at 0-0 fixed Taurus, and we've got the south node at 0-2 fixed Scorpio. So we've got water, so we've got all of this fixed energy going on. So Jupiter is expanding and amplifying all of that. And so Jupiter's in Taurus, then we've got Mercury, who's still in his shadow of the retrograde that he's just been in, so he's still not out of that yet. So again, we're really, again, metabolizing and reworking and chewing over, mulling over what happened in that Mercury retrograde, which was a pretty big one in the middle of an eclipse season and so on and so forth. It's been a pretty doozy of a Mercury retrograde. Then we've got, of course, the Sun and Moon. Then we've got Vesta, you know, allowing us to tap into our devotional practices, which is, again, very Taurian. You know, Taurian is all around those daily, it's practical magic. You know, we're looking at practical magic here, which is, of course, my favorite type, because it's the everyday stuff. You know, it's magic in the mundane, babies. I know that you've heard it all before. It is my book title. But, you know, this new moon is such a high potency of manifesting in a way that is deep and fertile. And when we work with Taurus energy, it's around slow and steady. It's around what is the solid foundation in which you are seeding your next move. What are you building? What are you curating? What are you investing in? So Jupiter's expanding all of this for us. This talent triangle has Mars and Neptune making a trine. Okay, so they're making a beautiful trine, which is around actioning our dreams, which is around the spiritual warrior. You know, are your dreams aligned to the fulfillment of your purpose here? You know, this is very creative. Mars is finishing up his journey, his very long journey in the sign of Cancer, where he is in his fall place. You know, he doesn't function well in Cancer. But, you know, if you've been watching my stories, you know, I've become motherfucking Stuart, you know, which has been so perfect because I'm cooking things from scratch because I've been on the cleanse. And it's been wonderful. I mean, cooking things like fucking gelatin gummies with kombucha. Who the fuck even am I? Like, I do not cook or bake like that. You know, I make dinner and I'm very good making breakfast and brunch. But, you know, like, seriously, like, I'm making fucking gelatin gummies. What the hell? So I've become Martha fucking Stewart. And I've been saying that for the whole time Mars has been in Cancer. And now Martha fucking Stewart is on like a fucking magazine front or something I've seen. So like, what a little legend she is. Venus has now moved into Cancer, so that Martha fucking Stewart energy can just continue where we want to nurture and nourish. But Mars is, you know, Mars is in this beautiful trine to Neptune at the time of this this new moon, right? And what Mars and Neptune are doing are making sextiles to the Sun and Moon, the new moon. So this is where this talent triangle comes from. Okay, so if you've got any planets, say, late degrees of Scorpio, you know, there's a really big, you know, kite going on in your chart at the moment. And so I do. I've got a 28 degree Scorpio. Uranus in Scorpio. So that becomes the third. That becomes the anchor of the grand water trine. So we've got Mars in Cancer, trining Neptune in Pisces. They are both making this beautiful sextile, which is an opportunistic aspect. It's one of the main aspects, but it is subtle. It's like you have to take the opportunities. You've got to make it happen. But then if you've got something at that late degree, so I would say like, you know, like 25 to 29 degrees of Scorpio, that becomes another part of the anchor of the grand trine, which will then, because it's in Scorpio, it's that third water sign, right, to make up the grand trine. But then that is also going to be opposite this new moon in Taurus. And there we have our kite, you know. And so we're looking to that sun and moon. We're looking to this new moon. What are the dreams, you know? And with Neptune involved and Mars involved, like, this is so luscious, you know. We're looking at spiritual action, spiritual fulfillment, taking action and initiative on our dreams, on what feels good for us. I mean, Neptune in Pisces is, yes, a dreamer, but also there's something so deeply intuitive around this that it's like, maybe you can't even put your finger on it at the moment and you just have to trust. And that is also a big, you know, archetype of Taurus, is the trusting. So this is setting up a year. And that's my prominent message to everyone for this new moon in Taurus, is this isn't just setting up the next 6 months, which, yes, a new moon will have its, you know, have its full glow up once we have the full moon in October, which happens to be an eclipse in Taurus, really closing out A, the full 18 months of this nodal axis, but B, closing out what we are even beginning here with this new lunation, right? However, with Jupiter fresh in Taurus, we're looking at this year-long seeding, this year-long manifesting, this year-long abundance, the golden era. So that's why this is such an important new moon. And let me tell you, I will be doing something on this new moon. Like, that's how powerful it is. You know, it's hitting my Venus, which is the apex of my yod, which is my chart ruler. Plus it's, you know, it's, you know, forming this grand kite in, you know, my chart, because I've got that anchor of Uranus at 28 degrees of Scorpio. So, you know, I'm having this new moon exactly opposite my Uranus. Plus it's hitting my Venus, which is all around money and abundance, relationships and love. Like, it's something really rich and juicy. But even if this new moon isn't doing all the magical things that it is in someone else's chart, that doesn't matter. Collectively, it is the most powerful manifesting moon of 2023. So rituals are a must. Writing down, get in your body, look at your values. What do you embody? This is a very somatic, you know, somatic moon. What are you feeling? What are your desires? Are you satiated with life? What seeds do you need to plant? What are you willing to work on? What are you willing to work at? What are you willing to build? Taurus is the building. They do the work. They don't bypass. They do the work. They hold the solidity. And if you have, you know, if you're held in space or circle, like, not everyone can hold space for someone. Like, sorry, I'm just going to fucking call that out. Like, just because someone thinks that they can hold a meditation circle or hold a big group of people, no. Not everyone has the capacity to do that. And that's okay, because it doesn't mean you're any less than. Not everyone has that capacity. And what you will find is very strong fixed archetypes being able to hold space, because they are the holders, they are the builders, they are the pillars of the zodiac, they are the central, you know, whilst the cardinal signs lead and activate and initiate and carve forward and begin the project, it's literally the fixed signs that are the center and the anchor point of each season. You know, they're the middle of the season, they hold space, you know, especially Taurus. Taurus not only does that, but does that because it's fixed earth. The other three fixed signs are air and water and fire. You know, there's a little bit more movement with those, but fixed earth is the solidity. So you will find someone with strong Taurus placements, Taurus moon, you know, strong Taurus planets, you know, holding space, being able to be that pillar and that anchor. So, you know, that's just, think of that when you, you know, move through this big Taurus portal. I mean, your Taurus house is getting a glow up. You know, Jupiter is now going to bless that for the next 12 months. But like I said, it's not always, you know, the lick of luck that Jupiter gives. He does expand the problems that are there too, because he magnifies things. You know, he does want you to expand and grow. Of course, there's generosity and abundance involved. And I think, again, people, you know, mismatch the word abundance for money. Abundance is a lot of, so it doesn't have to be money. Taurus rules money, absolutely. So this is a very potent portal of money making. And considering we're going into a recession and we're seeing housing problems, food crisis, you know, obviously interest rates are at an all-time high. We are really in a recession. I'm looking at how do we make big money with Jupiter in Taurus, also making this square to Pluto. You know, a Jupiter-Pluto activation can be a billionaire, you know. So it's not like, yes, you're going to get $1 billion overnight, but this is the building and this is the growth part. So I'm really just wanting, you know, you to really feel and maybe digest the words and the energy that I'm giving you here and seeding within your consciousness around the abundance that you deserve, the magnificence that you are, and to really activate this new moon in Taurus. And yes, check out where it is in your own chart, of course, first and foremost. Like I said, if it's not hitting a lot of things, that's okay. It's still making a beautiful talent triangle. And the apex and what you want to be focused on is the goal forward. What are you driving forward for? That is the sun moon. Yeah, that is the new moon. And it's a dark moon, so it's a time of yin and replenishment and nourishing and softness as well. And as, you know, as the crescent, you know, as she starts to grow, you know, we're going to see that beautiful slither in the sky. And then we're going to start to, you know, we visualize out, then we can see the new moon, you know, while she's dark, we can't see her. And so that is a time of going within as well. You know, just think of when, you know, the Taurus archetype, a seed in the earth, is in the darkness of the earth before it can sprout, before it can grow into the tree, before it even sees light. So Jupiter in Taurus is the long game. You know, this 1 year could magnify so much for us and give us so much, especially if we utilize this new moon in Taurus. I also want to say that, you know, like I've already talked about, you know, Jupiter will hit that 28 degrees exactly pretty much in a year. It's at 28 degrees a couple of days before the 20th. But, you know, we think about 1 year from the 20th of May 2023, which is the new moon in Taurus, to the 20th of May 2024, where Jupiter will activate this same degree. What are you building? And this is the Jupiter journey. Yeah. Vesta, like I said, she's there, you know, asking us to devote ourselves to the simplicity and to the rituals of daily life, you know, fanning the flames of our passions, tending the hearth fire of what lights us up, stripping back to the simplicity, which is what Taurus is asking us to do, right? It's get simple. Yeah. Get simple, get slow, embody, amplify. Are you satiated? You know, do you have a level of pleasure in your life? Yeah. What are your values? Are you embodying your life? Now, also, because we've got this talent triangle, of course, Neptune and Mars are involved. And this is really luscious as well, because, again, this is about your dreams and actioning your dreams. But also this new moon hits Algol. And Algol is, you know, Medusa. Algol is, you know, one of the unluckiest / luckiest blinking stars. You know, like, there's so much to say about Algol that it would take me hours. But it's interesting that this is a really magical alignment. Yeah, I would say. So, you know, this is a time of tapping into the highest of our spiritual rays, reaching the highest part of our spiritual development. And when I wrote my new moon post, you know, I was writing about, like, what are your desires? Do you feel like you will be turned to stone by Medusa herself for wanting pleasure, for wanting to be satiated, for wanting to be happy, for wanting to be fulfilled, right? So the thing is that will you turn to stone, you know? And it's like, do you feel like you don't deserve to live your best life, that you need to sacrifice something in order to live your best life? And what does your best life really look like? Because a lot of society talks about like the best life being, like earning millions of dollars and fucking blah, blah, blah. Like it's all about money and status and, and maybe you're so humble that, I think Gary Vee did like a cool little video about it like not long ago and or I've read it or something somewhere. But it's saying that, you can know someone who earns $1.2 million a year, they're unhappy, they're struggling, they're lonely, they're in a loveless marriage, yada yada yada, right? But then, you meet someone who's on, $80 grand a year and they're like super happy and they're super connected and they've got a really loving life and, they're grateful for the trees. It's just like, money doesn't equal happiness, right? Like money can give freedom, yes, but again, it's like what would make you happy? And are you sort of, are you different from what society tells you you need to be? And, and are you okay with that? Can you humbly step out of that cocoon and go, well, actually, I don't need to be famous. I don't need to earn this much money to find happiness. This is a time where you can really seed into what do you want? And I mean, and this is Taurus. This is about what are your inner resources? Where do you outsource your happiness or your dreams or your goals or your desires or even your purpose? A lot of people outsource all of those things. Like, I'll be happy when. This will be good if. Will be better when it's this constant outsourcing. But the Taurus archetype is around the inner resources, relying on themselves. And that doesn't mean, going it alone all the time or not asking for help. I mean, that can be the shadow part of, of any archetype realistically, but realistically, when we look at Taurus, the archetype is of the inner resources, that they know themselves, that they trust themselves, that they embody, that there's a level of embodiment when it comes to daily practice, yearly practice, seeding, potential, future, growth, building. It becomes, again, the slow and steady wins the race. Especially if you've got maybe your Mercury, and even your Venus in Taurus, or especially Mars. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a little drink, bit of ASMR for the ears. Good. Yeah, so with this new moon hitting Algol, I think there's something I wrote here around the protective quality of this. And I want to say that you can protect your seeds because Algol, there's something very protective around the Algol fixed star as well. But when I wrote my new moon post yesterday, I was sort of like, you're being protected or pushed. And so again, again, there's this dichotomy is that, our goal is the star, the demon star, the monster. And can you face the monster within you? Like this demon star is either forcing or pushing something that might not be what you want. And again, this can be just because you outsource things. This can be because you're like, thinking that happiness needs to look a certain way because that's what someone on social media is portraying, or a famous person, or whatever. Like, however this rolls for you, or are you being protected, and can you protect the seeds that you are about to sow in the build of Jupiter in Taurus, this new moon in Taurus, the building and the growth and the expansion and the teaching and the wisdom and the blessings that all of this is actually here to gift you? What do you need to protect? And I think that that's where, especially if you're like me, we've got Jupiter in the 12th house, the devotion to the divine is sacred. It's not something that's sprayed all out over social media constantly. Oh, look at me meditating. Look at me doing my morning practice. Look at me this. Look at me. 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 As Ram Dass says, can you become nobody? And I think that that's the thing. No one wants to be nobody anymore because everyone wants to be either someone else or somebody. And when you've got such a strong connection to the divine and your own daily devotional practices, you don't need to splay that all out to have people go, oh, look, that person's running or meditating and they're videoing themselves doing it. Anything that's sacred then will get taken out. And yes, you can, I'm not saying to never do it. I'm just saying, but when that's always your intention, when there's no practice without showing that practice, that's where we've missed the point. And all of this is asking, to turn internally of, can you protect the seeds that you are sprouting? That is what Algol wants to give us. in this new moon. That's what's exciting about this, is like I'm feeling like this new moon is, and our own sacred vows, darlings, you know, this is Vesta. What are we vowing to? What are we declaring? They can be very protected. So enjoy this new moon energy. It is so friggin' delicious. But also I just want to, you know, remind you that we are in this very big fixed cross, you know, Pluto 00 Aquarius, Jupiter 00 Taurus, the nodes at 2 degrees, Scorpio and Taurus, and Mars moving into 00 Leo on the 21st, which is the same day that the Sun moves into Gemini. So it's a really interesting time of maybe conflict or finding a resolution out. So it's, you know, for me, it's the South Node that becomes sort of like the apex or the release point of this activation that we're in with this grand fixed square, or it can be called a grand fixed cross, to have Jupiter conjunct the North Node. I mean, this is absolutely divine. Again, really, you know, heralding something new for our new future, a new way forward. You know, the Jupiter square Pluto, then Mars is involved. So Pluto and Mars are going to be opposite one another. This can be volatile. This can be dangerous, but it also can be very ambitious and give us a lot of energy and a lot of drive. And then you've got that South Node in Scorpio being the sort of that release point, which is still a part of the square. But what's the South Node in Scorpio asking us to do? To literally let go, you know, to surrender, to drop the stories, the trauma, the looping, the dramas. And I think what an incredible seeing out of energy that we've got as the nodes, you know, are on the final couple of degrees of this 18-month journey. I mean, this is going to be the final Taurus moon whilst the North Node is in Taurus. You get that, right? Jupiter's conjunct the North Node, right? That these last couple of weeks of May are pretty big. They're very karmic, very fated. Okay, so this fixed cross, you know, is pointing to the South Node in Scorpio, which we have just had the final Scorpio South Node eclipse. You know, it's a real release point in old everything. You know, I can't even name it. It's like the ego dissolution that's been going on. Fuck, are you not feeling that? It is huge. You know, we are dissolving timelines. We are upgrading our DNA. We are annihilating soul contracts. This has been huge. Like, wow. Like contracts that we have vows with to ourselves, to what we do, to the stories, to our past, to our karma, to other people. It's all being annihilated. We are having huge upgrades cellularly, DNA, aurically, energetically, metaphorically, physically, emotionally, mentally. Like it's all happening. But the fixed cross is like this. It's also tension in the sky. It's also, what way are you going? And I think that if you're really committed to the story and the looping and the drama, that South Node hook is still in you, you know, and it's about how can you remove that hook? How can you, you know, rise above like the phoenix? You know, I really feel this, you know, this is a real phoenix moment. As we know, that Pluto has been squaring the nodes. This is a very big configuration for 2023. You know, Pluto is the way out, you know, but that's through death, transformation, rebirth, complete ego annihilation, complete abomination of old karmic vows, not only to ourselves, but universally, collectively, but also the unearthing of rage, the unearthing of trauma, the unearthing of deep, old, black gunk. And the fact that this new moon connects to the monster of Algol, I mean, fuck me. It's just mind-blowing. I mean, the astrology is just frothable. I mean, I think I started my new moon post off with wet dreams, anyone? I mean, this is juicy. Like, this is juicy, lubed up energy. the fixed cross, yes, don't get me wrong, there's tension. There is tension. And it's like, which way are you going? Where are you going? Are you going to be volatile? Are you going to be reactionary? Because pretty much this fixed cross is sort of taking us, to the end of the month, realistically, by by transit and orbs, like starting to separate. But yeah, I mean, right up until the end of the month, I'm like, this fixed cross is in play. It's bringing us to our knees, and it is. It's like, what are you going to do with it? Because it's sort of amplifying a lot of things for us, that, like I said, the financial crisis, housing, death and rebirth, illness, sickness, all things to do with Taurus, food, land, properties, again, mortgages, interest rates, all those sorts of things. But, now once Mars activates this, because ultimately Jupiter sort of opens the fixed cross portal, and then Mars really like solidifies that, because then all of a sudden we've got all fixed signs with planets. And we see Jupiter in the North Node as somewhat benefic, of course, even though the North Node might not be seen as a benefic because it can be very devouring. It's the dragon's head, but at the same time, and it can be uncomfortable because it's the new path. It's something new that we've got to do. There is still something beneficial about it. But then we've got Pluto and Mars at play, which can be highly volatile, which can be highly destructive, destroying. I've already, Jupiter's going to be squaring both Mars and Pluto, and is already. And, that's again, magnifying the volatility, magnifying the ambition, magnifying the goals, magnifying the drive, magnifying the obsession of where you want to get to, your desires, but also magnifying all the old Kali rage, mama fucking things. Like, I was just driving on the road yesterday and it was wild. There was a pretty crazy car accident at my girl's school. One of my daughter's friends was nearly got hit by the cars in the accident. I took her home. She's shaking and crying. And, this is just the first of many things that we'll see over the next couple of weeks. I mean, be mindful. This is sort of eclipse energy, but different, like the nodes are involved, they rule our eclipses. So there's something big there. There's something, again, very karmic. We are in very karmic astro tea, it's a soup of karma and fate and release and moving forward. And it's like, what are you going to do with that? So it's delicious. I mean, this, of course, Jupiter's in Taurus. This is just so divine. And if you've got a Taurus stellium right now, like I do, you are just like, you are like, this is like the time to be alive, because Uranus is in Taurus as well. Uranus has been, shaking shit up for Taurians for a few years now. He's going to be moving to degrees that he hasn't hit in 84 years this year. I mean, even now, like he's at 19 degrees. We didn't get to Uranus in Taurus at 19 degrees last year. We're in new territory of Uranus. Obviously Pluto's at 0-0. Jupiter's in Taurus for the first time in 12 years. It's some big stuff going on. And this new moon just feels like the real, like, potent point of this. It's just like the real, it's the needle of the compass. It is the needle of the compass. I hope that you can just friggin' ravage all of those words that I've just said. I hope that they are seeding something within your consciousness, within your field, within your mind, within your heart, within your soul. You are magic. We are magic. This is a time of practical magic. This is a time of devotion. This is a time of bliss. This is a time of commitment and discipline. This is a time of taking the rose-colored glasses off, getting real. This is a time of purification. This is a time of tending to your passions, to your life, to your hearth flame with the fan, and fanning those with the flames of truth. This is about sovereignty, not being a lost soul in the scattered sea of dead souls, yeah, not just getting by, not just being a part of the contamination, but actually, rising in the consciousness, the collective consciousness. There's a lot of new information landing. There's a lot of new energy, and it's up to us to distill that. It's a distilling process that we're going to be going through now for the next year, and it's bloody exciting. I am so here for this energy, and I knew that I would start to come good once this Taurus new moon was coming to hit, because it is hitting my my Venus, and I'm just like, come on, bring it. It's, yeah, I've got some pretty gnarly, I mean, I've had some very big transits happen. You know, Pluto opposite the moon is once in a lifetime. It's a pretty big one. Saturn squaring my Taurus stellium last year was tense. You know, Uranus on my Taurus stellium has been big, but I've really enjoyed that. And now there's some real delicious stuff going on. You know, Jupiter's going to hit my Mars 3 times while he's in Taurus this year alone. And then he goes on to hit my Chiron, Sun, Venus, moves into Gemini, hits my Mercury. So, you know, this new moon is just this like, it's just like, you know, it is just like the momentum. It's the momentum forward. It's the break free. You know, the moon has been waning since that eclipse in Scorpio. So it really has feel like, you know, a dying off. And I mean, fuck, for me, I've been pretty much bed bound and, you know, fighting COVID for 2 weeks. So pretty much the entire time the moon was waning, you know, like it's just been like, it's been a purge, baby. It's been a fucking purge. So if you've been purging too, I am here with you. If you've been not well, I'm also here with you. We get to rise like the phoenix, baby. And, you know, some of these transits and especially this new moon with the, you know, like I said, if you've got that freaking late degree Scorpio stuff going on, that's the missing piece of the kite in your own chart. But even if you don't, like this talent triangle, you know, the compass of the needle is pointing north. And what is your north? And what does it mean to be you in this world? And how does that look for you? And what if your goals and ambitions are much more humble than they need to be, and that's actually what brings you the greatest happiness? Like, can you commit to that? Can you devote yourself to that? This is a time of really, and although we're about to finish Taurus season, which is a bit of a blow, you know, considering 2 weeks of my Taurus season were fucking bedridden, but you know, we're moving into Gemini season on the 21st, not long after Mars moves into Leo. So we're going to have the sun 0 degrees of Gemini making a perfect trine to Pluto immediately, which is super powerful and super potent for a very strong Gemini season. Let me just give you the hot tip. It'll be a strong Gemini season, but also making that beautiful sextile to Mars. So again, there's like a lot of dynamic action and energy when the sun moves into Gemini. So we're going to sort of pop through this new moon, and the moon will start to wax and build, and hopefully, you know, you're feeling that momentum, and Mercury will finally move out of those post degrees of his shadow from his retrograde, and things to become clearer again. And yeah, it's a time, you know. How it's nearly June is beyond me. It's Gemini season soon. I wish you all so much love. It is just so good to be back. And I've just had the most divine time, like sitting in this, you know, this pool of love and this pool of passion, sharing all of this with you today, because it's, you know, when you have your new moon in Taurus and you're a Taurus, you know, it's your new moon of the year. So, it's always feels extra special. And just feeling so plugged into, you know, what's going on. I mean, I've got Neptune trining my moon all year, trining my Uranus all year. It's pretty profound stuff. Sextiling my Venus. Uranus, like I said, is hitting the apex of my yod for the next 2 years. And there's some big, you know, climatic things happening for me on a very deep level. Like I said, day 4 of COVID, I was brought to my knees and tears by the activations that I'm going through. And this is why, fuck, I love astrology. It is everything. It is so profound that it still brings me to my knees in humility and excitement and all of the things. So I am going to love you and leave you. Happy Friday. Happy day of Venus. Happy new moon in Taurus, darlings. Enjoy this so, so much. And sending you so much love. Okay, bye.